We looked last week about getting out the boat, and that's been a theme that's been on our hearts as a family during our sabbatical. The reason why we are moving on is because God has said, well, to get out the boat and walk on the water. What that water is, we still don't know. We haven't got a clue what that water is. But in reality, we don't need to know. We've still got 6 weeks, and that's the way God works, isn't it? We were talking last week about Peter on the water and how Jesus didn't come right away. He came at 3 o'clock in the morning after they'd been struggling for hours and hours, actually. But he came just the right time to rescue them, to save them. And we looked at last week how that is the way that God often works. It's often the last minute that he comes forward. So we're still praying, so please do keep on praying for us. A number of people prayed on Wednesday for us here as we look to see what God has for us next. We will value your prayers in that. And we looked at how Peter trusted God and asked the question last week, what is your boat? What is bringing you security that maybe you find hard to leave behind when God asks you to do something? What is it that we're trusting more than God? Is there anything in our lives that means we're trusting that thing more than God? Where does our security lie, really? For Peter, it would have been easier to stay in the boat, although there was a huge storm and everything else. It would have been easier and maybe felt safer in the boat. But I'm just going to read this passage to you. It's not going to be on the screen. I'm just going to read it to you. And it's Matthew 14, verse 22 to 33. It's a passage we read last week, but just fantastic words as we read through it now. Matthew 14, 22. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. Though the people he'd been feeding the 5,000 at this point, and he sent them home. After sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. And night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walk on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them once more. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it really is you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over to the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Often in life, we know we need to do something, but we keep putting it off. We know there's something there we need to do, but we keep on saying, "Well, I'll do it tomorrow." We could be really good at procrastination. The problem with procrastination. As we wait for the perfect time and conditions, the problem is the perfect time and conditions never happen. It's interesting when we look at the passage to see Peter willing to step out of the boat while the storm is raging all around him. What impresses me is that Peter doesn't wait until the sun starts to shine and the water calms down. He doesn't say, "I will come, Jesus, just hang on a few hours while the storm goes." While the storm is still going and it's wrecking the boat and everything else, that is when he stepped out. He didn't wait for perfect conditions. He did it there and then. He didn't procrastinate. And that really impressed me as I read through this. And I thought, what's that mean to us? What's that mean to us today? What things really stop us from moving on with God? In what areas do we procrastinate? In what areas do we put off things which we know we should be doing? We can waste so much time because we procrastinate so much. I've thought over the years of a number of things. I wrote them down, of things that I've always said I'd like to do. Okay, number one, I've always said I'd like to learn the piano. Okay, have I learned the piano? No. I can't even do chopsticks. I can't do anything on the piano. I can't learn. But I've always said, and people have said to me, what would you like to do? Oh, I'd love to learn the piano. But I've put it off. And is it too late now? Do you think? It could be. I don't know. But I've put it off. The other thing was, I always want to go on a cruise. I haven't done that yet, but I'd love to go on a cruise. And maybe I have to wait a bit older. But I've never done that, but I've always said, yeah, I'd love to go on a cruise. I've never done it. The other thing is to speak Spanish. I've always said to myself and to other people, I'd love to speak Spanish. Well, why haven't I done it? What stopped me doing it? Why haven't I gone out and learnt it? When I was with YWAM a number of years ago, Youth with a Mission, I was based in Central America, and that was all Spanish speaking. And I did a bit then. I had to go and do it. I didn't know Spanish, but I had to go and be there, and with the Spanish-speaking people, I had to learn some. And I came back saying, yeah, I'm going to learn Spanish this year, because fantastic language, and then we could be used maybe in one of those countries. But that was 1990. Okay, some of you weren't even born in 1990. And when you think about it, I've just put it off. I can procrastinate like the best of them, really. And it's like being a kamikaze pilot who's flown 17 missions. Just keeps putting it off. 18 years ago, there was something that over the last 18 years, really, we've talked about what we'd like to have as a family. One of those things was a dog. And I've put it off, and I've said, you know, well, it's not the right time. We can't do it. The kids are too small, or, you know, we may be moving, so it's not fair on a dog or whatever. And we put it off. And then this week, we made the decision, and we got a dog. Incredible. This is the dog we've waited 18 years for. We got him on Tuesday. He's a rescue dog. He was not wanted, so we got him. And it was just a fellow in the streets, and Alison saw him in the streets, and he had these dogs. He said, where are the dogs from? And he was a representative of this rescue home. And so he went and got him for us. Now, there's a couple of names for this dog, and we're not sure of a name yet. So if you look at him, we'd value a name for him. If you've got any ideas for a name for this little dog, he's fantastic, actually. He's a poop machine, but apart from that, he's fantastic, aren't you? He's 6 months old. And he is we're really blessed with him. He needs a good grooming. But it took us 18 years to get him, because I kept putting it off. And really, and I was waiting really for the ideal time. There's no ideal time, actually, in the end. So we said, oh, well, let's just do it. Let's just do it. Let's just go and get ourselves a dog. But we can spend our life putting things off. In 9 days' time, I am 50 years old. And when I think of it, it's a bit worrying, because to my mind, I've got less ahead of me than I've got behind me now. It makes you think, doesn't it? It does make you think. It makes you think what you're doing with your lives. What you're doing with your lives. It's made me think that. And with my sabbatical, that was what God was saying all the time. What are you doing with your life? Where are you going? What are you doing with your life? And this is what God's saying to all of us. How are you going to spend your life? Is your life all that it's meant to be? Even at the moment. This morning, we're going to look at this area, to look at why we keep putting things off, and hopefully encourage us to step out, really, and step out into what God has for us, and to stop procrastinating, stop putting things off, because time is short. I'm going to look at the cause of procrastination, the cost, and also the cure as well. So let's look at the cause of procrastination, of putting things off. One is indecision. It says in James there, the double-minded man or woman is unstable in all he or she does. The double-minded man is unstable in all he does. Indecision. We know that whenever we've got a hard decision to make, we will procrastinate, we'll keep putting it off. If it's not clear, we keep putting it off. And the problem today, we have so many choices, don't we, today? You know, you go into a supermarket. The other day I went into Superdrug, and on my little list was shampoo and conditioner. And went in, and then there's hundreds of shampoos and conditioners, all for long hair, short hair, dry hair, greasy hair. And all you want is some for dirty hair. That's all you want, really, isn't it? But there's all these different things in front of you, all the decisions. It doesn't help us to make a decision. But we can procrastinate simply because we can't make a choice. Perfectionism. Ecclesiastes says this. Perfectionism paralyzes us, you see. It causes us to delay when we know the right thing to do, but we can set such high standards that actually we end up doing nothing. And Ecclesiastes 11:4 says this, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never do anything. Like I said earlier, Peter didn't procrastinate. He didn't wait for the perfect time. He stepped out of the boat, even though all the conditions were anything but perfect. The only thing perfect in this world is God. So don't let perfectionism keep you back. Don't set such high standards to say, until we reach that, then we'll do this. Because you may never reach that, whatever that is. Other one is fear. A very familiar one to a lot of us. Whenever we're afraid of something, we tend to keep putting it off. We're afraid of failure of something. We say, well, I won't do it in case I fail. And we think, well, you know, I'll put it off. So you don't start anything. We can be afraid of success because we think, well, if I do that and it is successful, how do I maintain it? So it's still fear, but working in different ways. Fear keeps us back from so much and from doing so much what God wants for us. It's fear that will stop you making that phone call that you should make. For some of you, there's a phone call you haven't made which you know you have to make to someone, and you've been fearful and you've put it off. It's fear that stops you sharing your faith. It's fear that stops you going for that dream, whatever it is, whatever God's put on your heart, maybe many years ago. Maybe you've done nothing about it because of fear. Anytime you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, we have to stop and ask ourselves, what am I afraid of? What is it that I'm afraid of? What's causing me to put it off? So fear can be a barrier to us of doing what God wants us to do. On laziness, this is a big one as well. This is one of the biggest causes of procrastination, probably. And Proverbs there says, lazy people want much but get little. And one of the favourite words that in our culture is easy. Everything is easy. Cook rice. Everything's easy. You try selling a book that says 10 incredibly difficult ways to lose weight. It won't sell. The only books that I sell is 10 incredibly easy ways to lose weight and you'll make a fortune. The truth is we put off things because we think it's going to get easier. But it doesn't get easier. It's a lie. Actually, it makes life harder. So that was the cause of what it can be. So we've looked at indecision, perfectionism, fear, and laziness. What about counting the cost of it? What does it cost us when we keep putting things off? Well, number one, it wastes opportunity. Ephesians 5 there says this, make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. So it doesn't say make the most of every now and again. It says every opportunity you get. If you want to live a fulfilled life, if you want to live a life that is full and joyful and right and peaceful, take every opportunity that God sends your way and make the most of it. We miss many opportunities in life just because we hesitate too long. While we hesitate, life speeds on. So it wastes opportunity. It causes problems. A lazy person has trouble all through life. I've got a habit, really, of not filling up the car until it's right in the red, until I see the red. What is that? Whether that's a male thing, I don't know, or whether it's just a Davis thing. But I never fill the car up until it's gone on the red. I always wait the last minute. And sometimes I've had to come off. We went to London a few months ago even. And I had to come off early because it went right on the red and the little light came on and I knew we didn't have far enough petrol. But I knew that miles behind. But whether it's a thrill again, I don't know. I'm just pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. See how far I can get with no petrol. But one day, Alice and I, there was a family in a church we were in at the time, and they had four young children, all under the age of eight. And we said we'd look after them for the weekend. So we looked after these four children. We had our own two as well. And we put them in a car. We had a bigger car then. We could get them all in. And we went for a drive. And I knew that red light was on the petrol. But did I do anything about it? No. And what happened? We broke down. We stopped. So I've got these six kids in the back, all under eight. And me and Alison. And so we had to walk a number of miles from the car to their home. And we were, you know, walking along the road with these six kids behind him. You know, people looking at me thinking, that's why he's got grey hair. You can see it. You can see it. It must have looked like, you know, have you seen that film, The Inn of Sixth Happiness, where Ingrid Bergman brings all these kids over the hills? It must look like that. But it's all because I didn't fill up with petrol. It's all because I kept putting it off and kept putting it off. And I procrastinated, but I realized that actually procrastination makes life harder. It definitely made life harder that day when we're trying to walk with these kids for miles just to get them home. It can cause problems by us, for us also, in going to the doctor. What is it about us men who don't go to doctors? Men, you've got to go to the doctor if something is wrong, okay? We put it off, and we put it off, we procrastinate and say, oh, well, let's see if it's like this next week. Or let's see if that lump goes down. Or let's see what happens. And we put it off and put it off and put it off. For some men, it's been too late. For some women, it's been too late. It can cause problems because we put things off and put things off. And in the end, it can have serious consequences. It can become habitual. We can start just being people who do things the last minute. And often it can be too late. It causes problems. Number three, procrastination, putting things off, hurts others also. One of the main reasons why marriages can fall apart is because of this. Because we can put off that conversation we know we should be having with our husband or wife. We know there's something that needs sorting, but we put it off and put it off thinking that it'll be sorted itself or it'll just go away. Or we won't talk about those tough things that are obvious in our marriage and we'll put it off and put it off. Or we didn't take time out when we knew we should have done. When we knew just to be together somewhere, just the two of you. Just talking or just going for a walk or something. You put it off and put it off. Till eventually, it all falls apart. And often the cause of much divorce is procrastination, of putting things off. Because we don't deal with things when they need dealing with. Don't procrastinate on relationships. It just doesn't work. So we've had the cause. We've looked at the cause. We've looked at the cost. The cost being, these are the cause of fear and laziness and the cost of waste opportunity. It causes problems. It hurts others. And the cure for procrastination, let's look at how we, as we finish reading this part, how we look at stop putting things off. Number one is stop making excuses. We can make excuses for all kinds of things. We make excuses putting things off all the time. An excuse or blame circumstances for many things in our lives. We can say, well, if only my parents weren't like that, or if only I was brought up differently, or if only I looked different, or only if I only had more time. We can excuse ourselves in life by saying, that's just the way I am. And we can be putting things off. What excuse are you using today for not doing what you should be doing? What excuse regularly comes to mind for you that we use when we know we should be doing something, whether it's making the phone call, whether it's doing something different, whether it's going somewhere different, whether it's dealing with an issue? What excuse are we making? Peter didn't make those excuses. Peter stepped out of the boat, and we're given this story for lots of reasons, but for me, this is one of the main reasons, is that he didn't wait for ideal situation, ideal time. He just stepped out. When we wait for ideal opportunities, it just doesn't happen. Because in your life, there will always be health issues. In your life, there'll always be financial issues. There'll always be relationship issues. There's no ideal time. So if we're going to get on with our life, we need to live our lives to the full. We will have to do it in less than ideal circumstances. We have to stop making excuses. That's why we're leaving the church. That's why we're leaving now. Because God has said, go now. And the reason why he said that, we don't know, as you're aware. It's a stupid thing to do. A stupid thing to do. Kids are still in school here. They've got another year, really, for A-levels and GCSEs. You know, I get paid here. It's a stupid thing to do. But God just made it really clear. It's now. What he made clear to you? What he been saying to you, which you've been putting off? Stop making excuses and get on with it. Number two, master your moods. Some of us are very moody. Some of us are very moody. And some of us are dominated by our emotions and our feelings, and manipulated sometimes by our moods. Most of the time, we want to wait until we feel like doing something before we do it. Well, you may never feel like doing what you've been told to do, but you still got to do it. Most of the things that have ever been done in this world are done by people who didn't feel like doing it. Peter didn't feel like stepping out the boat, but he did it. But our moods and our feelings can dominate us sometimes. Philippians 4:13 just says, for I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me strength that I need. I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength that I need. You won't break free from procrastination without him, so bring it to him. Number three is set a deadline. You need to set a deadline when you're going to stop putting things off. The best intentions are not good enough. If you say, I'll do it someday, those days turn into weeks, into months, into years. We know how it goes. So be brave and sit down and write down what you're going to do. What you're going to do, not just with the rest of your life, but what you're going to do with the rest of this year. You've got 2 or 3 months left this year left now. What are you going to do with this rest of the year? What are you going to do next year? What are you going to be up to next year? Write it down. Maybe you thought, well, I'm going to read my Bible more. Well, do it. Just get on with it. But write it down first. Maybe there's a relationship in your family or there's a friend relationship is turning bad. You need to sort it out. Well, go and do it. But make it soon. You see, when we write things down, it changes from a wish to a decision. And that can be really helpful as we come to actually doing things. When do we do it? Start now. What are you putting off? Start now. The next month, not the next month, not next week, start now. People often say, well, they say to me even, you know, I'm aiming to do it. Well, maybe it's time to stop aiming and pull the trigger. Get on with it. I used to work in Tesco's years ago, worked for about 2.5 years, and I may be back there working in Tesco soon as well. But I was working in Tesco for 2.5 years, and when I was there, the manager there would always come up to me, and he had this phrase he'd use time and time again, and he'd say, do it now, yeah? That's what he'd say, do it now, yeah. So he'd come to me, and I'd always be on the vegetables. So I'd have all the peas, the beans, the carrots, the tomatoes. And what you had to face them up. That means make it look full when it's not. So you had to face them up. So he comes to me and says, face those beans, Paul, and do it now, yeah? And I could strangle him. I could have strangled him because he just constantly say this, you know, do it now. Yeah. And he wasn't my favorite person. He just really, really bugged me. But maybe he'd found something. Maybe he was right all along. Now listen, the Bible says, you who say today or tomorrow you'll go to this or that city, spend a year here, carry on business and make money, why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Never boast about tomorrow. You don't know what will happen between now and then. That doesn't mean you don't plan. It doesn't mean that you don't write things down. But what it's saying is that, you know, don't take it for granted that you've got tomorrow. Don't take it for granted that you've got tomorrow. That's what it's saying there. Don't be boasting about tomorrow. Get on with it now. It's quite arrogant sometimes of us to presume that we're going to have years and years ahead of us. But it may not be true. We may not have tomorrow. Do it now. Yeah? And by the way, your loved ones may not have tomorrow either. James 14. What about this for a verse? Remember, says James, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not to do it. It's a sin. It's wrong before God. When you know what you should be doing and you're not doing it, it's a sin. So when we put these things off, when we know God's told to do something or we know we have to deal with something and we're not doing it, actually we've sinned. It's a big deal. It's a big deal, you see. Procrastination keeps us from being all that God intended us to be. It limits our potential. It wipes away opportunities. Most of us presume upon the future. Can you remember where you were on September the 11th? When the two towers were hit. When the Twin Towers were hit. Can you remember where you were on that day when you first heard the news? That horrendous day. I can remember exactly where it was. I'm sure most of you can, when you first heard that news. That was 12 years ago. Frightening, isn't it? It's 12 years ago. 12 years have gone by since then. That's how fast time goes. Are the things, even better English, are the things that you are putting off or have put off? Is there a phone call to make? Is there a visit to make? Is there something that God has put on your heart to go and do? Is there a life-changing decision you've been putting off and putting off? Well, throughout his word, he just says, don't presume about tomorrow. Get on with it now. Do it now. Do it now. Because it's a sin otherwise, and we don't want that, do we? We don't want anything to become between us and God. Maybe for you today, maybe you don't know Jesus. This Jesus we've been talking about. Maybe this is something you've never actually done. You've never actually given your life to this Jesus that we're talking about. To this God who knows what's best for you. Maybe you've never done that. Well, in God's word, it says today is the day of salvation. It doesn't say tomorrow. It says today is the day of salvation. What's that mean? It means simply that if you're going to trust Jesus, it's today that you do it. Because we don't know about tomorrow. We don't know about tomorrow. And if that's you, don't keep on putting it off. Don't keep on putting off coming to know Jesus because we don't know about tomorrow. And in his word, it says today is what matters. For you, also those of you who are Christians, stop putting things off. Do it now. Get on with it. Get on with your life. Don't settle for second best. Don't settle for the norm. If God's put something on your heart and you know he's put something on your heart, do it. If it means giving up your job, do it. If it means moving somewhere else, do it. He is the one who will be there before you even reach there, wherever there is. He is the one who will look after you. He is the one who will provide for you. Peter was a man of God, and he gets a bad press often, Peter. But actually, he had the courage to step out even in the difficult situations around him. What about you?